All right, Denis. We've got you and your mob completely surrounded. Are you coming out peacefully, or do we have to blast you?
For an answer, Captain Murphy of the 63rd Precinct received a withering flame of machine gun fire from a second-story window. His police squad ducked behind bulletproof cars and armored cycles. With swift movements of shuffling feet, Professor Cosmo Jones sidled up to Murphy.
Pardon me, Captain, but may I suggest that I be allowed to intercede?
The big policeman turned around and his face twisted in a mixed picture of surprise and rage.
So, it's you again, Cosmo Jones, you little mouse. Now listen, will you go home and crawl under the bed before you get hurt? These guys are killers.
He turned toward the police car's microphone.
All right, mate. Let them have it.
And that's the dramatic opening to another story from Studio X, starring America's most versatile actor, Mr. Paul Frees, who will return after a few profitable moments with your announcer. Your star of Studio X, Mr. Paul Frees.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to Studio X and our presentation of The Professor Goes for a Walk. During a slight lull in the firing, Professor Cosmo Jones took advantage of another opportunity to approach the police captain and tugged at his sleeve.
If you please, Captain Murphy, I have a very good suggestion as to how...
Listen, didn't I tell you to get back out of here?
Murphy turned back to his men. Cosmo reached up and tapped him on the shoulder.
I'm quite sure that if you'll just listen...
The captain went livid with rage and choked up. And from then on, the police did everything to get Cosmo out of the way. They pushed him around. They jostled him aside. Meanwhile, the battle carried on with Murphy directing hostilities toward the hoodlum hideout and shaking himself free from the professor who constantly tugged at his coat. Finally, it was the little fellow himself who gave up in disgust. Grasping his walking stick and umbrella firmly in one hand, he calmly walked out right in the center of no man's land. Standing there in the white beams of police searchlights, he was a perfect target for gunfire from either side. Captain Murphy nearly had a heart attack as he screamed into the microphone.
Hold your fire! Hold your fire!
Beads of sweat oozed out of his forehead as he addressed the professor.
Get out of here, you little dope! Come over here before you get a bullet in the pants! Come on, hurry up!
But Cosmo had made up his mind to take a different course of action. He approached the opposite curb, threw back his head, and called up to the second-story window.
Gentlemen, I should like to have a talk with you. I'm sure you won't mind if I come upstairs.
There was no firing, no response from the window. Without a moment's hesitation, the professor entered the building and proceeded up the stairs. At the top of the landing, he knocked on the wooden panel and waited until the door was jerked open. He boldly stepped across the threshold under the guidance of two men bristling with guns. There were two other men inside, and the room looked like a small arsenal. The shades were ripped away from the glass-shattered windows, tables and chairs were overturned, and the place was in a thorough state of shambles. The only light in the room came from the searching ribbons of police lights and the bright glow of street lamps on the outside. The professor stood there meekly until the man who seemed to be Dinelli, the leader, spoke.
What you got on your mind, screwball?
Cosmo stood perfectly quiet as he answered.
Well, gentlemen, to be perfectly frank with you, I was thinking that you might save yourselves a lot of trouble by raising a flag of truce, laying down your arms, and submitting peacefully to the officers of the law.
A tough-looking individual with a scar that ran from his temple to the corner of his mouth barked at Dinelli.
What is this guy? Nuts?
The professor was quick to give assurance.
Oh, no, gentlemen. I can set your minds at ease by saying that I'm not a victim of dementia praecox. Definitely not.
Scarface barked again.
Hey, listen to the guy. He's swearing at us.
Dinelli spat out a command.
Shut up, Augie.
Then he waved a gun at the professor.
What are you? A copper?
Oh, no. Heavens, no. I'm not a minion of the law. I'm a doctor of science.
The leader bobbed his head at the gang.
Meet the doc, you monkeys. A guy who don't know when he's well off by keeping his bugle out of the guy's business. Well, now you get this, flappy ears. We don't go for your ideas. Because I ain't got no time to waste, I'm going to polish you off.
You mean you're going to shoot me?
Yeah, that's the general idea.
The professor answered without a tremor in his voice.
Oh, but I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Hey, this guy's really screwy.
I resent that statement intensely. I gave you my assurance once before that I'm not mentally maladjusted. As a matter of fact, I might venture to say that it is you, gentlemen, who are displaying symptoms of mental derangement. If you abolish me homicidally.
Dinelli became impatient.
Cut out the fancy talk. Speak English.
Well, you see, gentlemen, between the thumb and index finger of my right hand, I hold a small capsule. You remember I told you I was a doctor of science? Well, in this capsule, I have a highly concentrative and potent formula that, when subjected to a slight concussion, will explode. There's no noise at all, just a heavy film of gas that pervades the room. And when the victim, or I might say, victims, breathe this gas, it desensitizes them for a period of several hours.
What are they saying?
Cosmo quietly explained in detail what he'd just said. Dinelli put his hand to his belt line.
How long does it take for a guy to croak?
Oh, he doesn't die for a good many days. Sometimes it takes several weeks. A victim experiences electrostatic pains for a long period of time.
Dinelli took a step forward.
Let me see this thing.
Stand back. Stay where you are or I might drop it.
The gangster stopped in his tracks as the little man continued.
And now, gentlemen, perhaps you'll listen to me reasonably. Hmm? As I was coming upstairs, I took the precaution to take an antidote. You understand? Another capsule to offset personal harm to myself in the event that it is necessary for me to drop the little article that I hold in my hand. So, now that everything has been explained and it is obvious that I'm the master of the situation, I want you to follow my suggestion. Wave a flag of truce out of the window to testify that you are going to surrender peacefully. Then toss all this artillery that you've gathered around the room into the street below. Walk downstairs and submit to the police officers quietly.
The professor waited for a moment and received no answer.
Come, gentlemen. There's no time to lose. After all, what would you be gaining by holding out, Sooner or later, the police will storm your not invulnerable fort. Blood will shed, your blood, and all for nothing.
There was a long pause and nothing was said.
Gentlemen, I shall now drop the little pellet I hold in my hand.
It was Scarface who revealed his thoughts.
Wait a minute. Listen, Dinelli, I ain't gonna take a rap for no little monkey like that. I'm waving my nosegay out of the window right now.
He took his handkerchief and started for the window. The other two men followed. Dinelli looked disgustedly at the professor.
All right, we're stuck. But if you didn't have that little pill in your mitts, I'd blast you.
It was an amazed Captain Murphy who watched while the white ribbon of surrender fluttered about at the second-story window. And then a rain of pistols, revolvers, ammunition, rifles, and sawed-off shotguns descended to the sidewalk. Police officers, with their mouths open, saw the unbelievable sight of a gang of the worst cutthroats in the city meekly step out on the sidewalk with their hands high above their heads. Murphy barked orders to his fellow officers and then spoke briefly with Dinelli. An instant later, the hoodlums were packed into police squad cars and driven away. The captain waited until Professor Jones reached the pavement and then hailed him.
Hey, you little worm. Come here. What's the meaning of this? You practically commit suicide and then a stunt like this comes off. What's the angle?
The little fellow smiled modestly and started off on his favorite subject.
You see, Captain, my theory that there is no need for violence in apprehending criminals was upheld again by the practical application of pretense in events of misleading character. I might say that if you ever have need for my services in the future, you can reach me by dropping a card to Professor Cosmo Jones in care of General Delivery.
Now, don't give me any more of your blarney. Dinelli told me you had a bomb in your hands up there.
The professor looked puzzled.
A bomb?
Yes. Yes, now, your little worm. Where is it? Come out with it now.
Cosmo thought a moment, and then a dawning light spread over his face.
Oh, yes. You mean this?
The captain looked down at the pellet in the little fellow's hand.
Yes, I guess so. What is it?
Why, it's merely a capsule of concentrated cod liver oil, containing vitamins A, B, and D, to say nothing of that modern vitamin, B12. Have one, Captain.
And so ends another story from Studio X, starring your one-man theater, Paul Frees, who portrays all of the parts. Mr. Frees will return in just a moment after a few words from your announcer.
Professor Goes for a Walk was written by Walter Gehring, produced by Sam Kerner, with music composed and played by Rami Idris. Special effects by Fred Cole. Your announcer was Shepard Menken. Won't you join us again at Studio X when we present another thrilling story for your entertainment? This is Paul Frees saying goodbye. Until next, we meet.